The Homeless Podcast deals with topics of a sensitive nature and is not intended for all audiences. At times, this podcast may include explicit language or adult themes. Listener discretion is advised.
January 3rd, 2020, 1 o'clock p.m., 72-hour compliance notice, Tacoma, Washington, People's Park. All personal property and structures located in the park must be compliant with the park code TMC Chapter 8.27 within 72 hours. This means that starting 72 hours after posting of this notice, all structures must comply with the park code during daytime hours, and that all personal property and structures remaining in the park after closing shall be subject to immediate removal. Individuals remaining in the park after closing will be subject to arrest and prosecution for criminal trespass pursuant to the park code 8.12.025.
Sad, man, when I seen a family, I mean a little kid, and their whole family been in tent. Yeah. I just couldn't believe it.
Everybody's situation in homelessness is not the same. People, they want to deride it as being a drug user, a drug problem. It is not. People shouldn't be homeless. It's just that people don't understand homelessness, man, until it embarks your doorstep.
Welcome to the Homeless Podcast, Season 1, Episode 3, a podcast that tells the stories of those that live on the fringe of society. If you haven't already subscribed, please take the time to do so on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Google Podcasts, or wherever you may be listening right now. As you listen to these stories, please note that the opinions stated in the Homeless Podcast by guests do not necessarily reflect the opinions of the Homeless Podcast itself. The Webster's Dictionary defines shelter as such: that which covers or defends from injury or annoyance, the state of being covered and protected, to screen or cover from notice, to disguise. On a rainy January morning, I woke up and did my daily social media scroll, noticing an article from one of the local Seattle major news affiliates stating that the city of Tacoma would be clearing People's Park in the hilltop area of the city just off of Martin Luther King Jr. Parkway. The city posted a 72-hour notice for those living in the park. I decided to drive up the interstate to Tacoma and to observe the scene. I arrived with 2 hours to go until the 72-hour deadline was reached. I thought I'd see an empty park, crews cleaning, and few, if any, homeless individuals. That was not the case. Close to 50 tents stood in the cold pouring rain, mud creeping up the sides of the structures, deep footprints left by those wandering the park, and abandoned tents, half collapsed or laying flat on the ground without any occupant. I noticed many individuals wandering around the park, most of them stopping every now and then, and just staring at the scene. The look of desperation was on every face. Sadness. Hopelessness. Confusion. Fear. Across the street and facing the park is the Housing Authority of the City of Tacoma. We will hear from them later in the episode, but for now, I want to continue painting a picture of the scene. In the corner of the park, three Tacoma police sit in their vehicles. Occasionally, one gets out to talk to the other and then heads back to escape the cold and pouring rain. I walk around the park, nodding at individuals, offering some hamburgers I bought at the local fast food joint, and I come across Jackson. Jackson has been in the park for over 2 years. He lost his wife to sickness and remarks how he is, quote, so grateful for the time God gave me with her, end quote. He is in his upper 50s, wears a camouflage jacket that looks old and torn, and lights up a cigarette. We spend about 45 minutes observing the scene, and we talk. Jackson can't find a job. He can't get on the list to be accepted into the tiny home village that the city built. And he can't understand where all the money has gone that, quote, is supposed to help get us on our feet, end quote. Jackson understands the desperation and economic disasters that have led to so many being without homes. He has lost his greatest love to the elements. He uses scripture to describe his feelings. He has the look of both victim and owner of his predicament. On his face, pain. This is Jackson.
Am
most people in the streets know me as L.A.
Right.
I came here from the city of California.
Okay.
About maybe 10, 20, 30 years ago. I got married to a young woman who was, you know, she's a native here. She was born and raised here on the hilltop. She was born a heroin user for 44 years. Okay. And when I met her, she was in her addiction then, you know.
So her mother, when she was pregnant, was using heroin?
Yes, okay. Yes. And then, see, here's the thing. She suffered from emphysema and COPD. She's passed on now, you know, she's in a better place.
I'm sorry, man. I'm sorry.
Well, you know, it's like this. She told me before she passed on, she said, God gives rest to the ones he loved, and she died in her sleep. There was nothing more that they can do for her, you know. It was a shock to me. But see, everybody's situation of homelessness is not the same. People, they want to derive it as being a drug use or a drug problem. It is not. The drug problem is just to cope with what you have to deal with every day. It's like, you know, a medicine. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But see, when you have spiritual pain, there's only one doctor you can go to, and that's God himself. You know, when you have physical pain, you can go down there.
Right.
See, here it is there. That was the other half of my income. And that's why I am where I am today.
Okay.
You know, me and my wife, she had the other half of the income. I still get income, but I don't have enough the first, last, application fee and all that, you know. They give Tacoma Housing Authority money to help the homeless and all that, but it don't seem like the money that they get goes to the right places.
Where do you think it goes?
Well, you know, I think they pick and choose whom they want to have this money, you know, or whom they want to have this housing. You know, they have a waiting list for 5 years and lotteries. That's not fair, man, you know.
I went onto the Tacoma Housing Authority website and I couldn't find anything about a lottery system, but I have heard of this in the past. The Tacoma Housing Authority is a vital and, in my opinion, supportive entity in helping those that find themselves in desperate time and need. Jackson has his opinions about THA, as you can hear. On their website, they list their strategic objectives for the public to read. The most notable objective is as follows, quote, THA will provide high-quality housing, rental assistance, and supportive services. Its supportive services will help people succeed as tenants, parents, students, wage earners, and builders of assets who can live without assistance. It will focus this assistance to meet the greatest need. End quote. I decided to give the Tacoma Housing Authority a call, just to gather a little bit of information.
So I was down across the street from you at People's Park, and I was talking to a few people there, and they're talking about the lottery system that you have set up, and I was wondering if you could tell me real quickly how that works.
Yeah, I think it was part of our waitlist opening. I think it's been closed now. I don't know if there's an existing ongoing lottery. Have you heard about that?
But there is a lottery system with THA, though, to get support. Is that right?
Yeah, for Section 8 vouchers and our HOP vouchers. The HOPs are for 5 years. Section 8 are ongoing.
Awesome. Thanks, man. I really appreciate it. Hey, I've got one more question.
Yeah, no problem.
I got one more quick question for you. How does THA get their funds?
Our official designation is Public Housing Authority. Most of our funding for our vouchers comes from HUD. We're technically an entity of the state, so for all our procurement issues. And
sure.
Then we also have a board that's appointed by the city.
Okay.
So I know that's a little complex, but
that makes sense to me. And is the board the group that decides basically how the money's used and how it's dispersed and who gets what percentage-wise?
For our different programs, yeah, they sign off on all of that for budgeting and everything.
Okay, great. And how, I'm just curious, one last question. How often does the board meet to decide those?
It's monthly, depending on time of year. Sometimes it's more often. And they advertise those publicly. I'm sure it'll be on our website, but I'm not exactly sure where else. I know they put it at our properties as well.
Okay. Awesome. Josh, I really appreciate your help today. Thanks so much, man.
Yeah, tell me your name again.
My name's Russ.
Russ, pleasure. Are you involved with another group around town or anything else?
Well, you know what I'm doing? I actually, I'm hosting a podcast, and what I do is I interview homeless people I'm just trying to raise awareness and tell stories.
What's your podcast called?
It's called Homeless.
No, cool. Yeah, it's needed for sure. We appreciate your work. I'll check it out.
Hey, I appreciate
it. Future too, let me know.
Yeah, man, I appreciate it. We'll talk soon. Thanks, bud.
All right, you too.
Bye.
Let's get back to Jackson's story and his experiences in People's Park.
Now the police is targeting homelessness as like you being a criminal, man.
Right.
You know, that's the guy just recently died down here on the corner.
Yeah, I heard that.
Yeah, he froze to death. I know who he was. He didn't want to deal with the tent. He liked to sleep up underneath the stairs, and they'll come every morning and tell him to move along. He froze to death that night, man, because it almost snowed. It was just that cold.
Yeah.
You know, and see, who's going to be responsible for that? Who is that? Who's that? That lies on. Does it lie on the city of Tacoma? You know what I'm saying? When
right.
you have, when you don't have enough shelter. See, to my understanding is like this. They make affordable housing for people who can afford to be in those houses. Okay?
Okay.
Now, they're bringing this railway in. Now, all these businesses that didn't have, all these places that didn't have businesses have popped up businesses now. You know, because it's going to be thriving here. As soon as they put that train and come through here, there's going to be a lot of people coming through here. You know what I mean? Trying to go there, transporting and being commuted close to their job. You know, I mean, hey, shoot. A single apartment is going to be well over $1,000. That's, you know, how am I going to take? I only get maybe $600-$800 for my Social Security.
Right.
You know, I can't afford that, you know? And then you're talking first and last to move in, you know? But see, it's a poor person who can afford that, who has a job, who has to make that much money. And that's what they're doing here, you know? And see, that's not right neither, you know? And I'm sure that this has been going on for quite some time.
Sure.
You know? Now, it's a lot of people, I say, they want to be out there. There's some people out there in those tents that have places to go. You know, it has housing.
Yeah.
You know, it's a choice thing, it's a forced thing. Mine is a forced thing.
Okay.
When my wife died, she didn't leave me anything. Okay, I got 1/3 of $3 is what she had in her bank account. Okay? And then you can imagine what that is.
Yeah.
But I'm not mad at that. I had 10 years of a lifetime. Man, that was wonderful.
Yeah, of course.
You know what I'm saying? I'm happy about it. I'm not mad. I'm not sore. You know, it's a struggle for me, sure.
Yeah.
God's got a better place for me, man. You know, and I'm not going to give up. You know, I just happened to end up here, you know, for God's purpose.
No anger at God. No ungratefulness. Jackson, after all he has been through, still has love in his heart and hope in his soul. He knows he is where he is for a purpose, and he is about to tell us what that purpose is. And yet, he watches on as his fellow park residents are packing up, looking desperate, and the clouds overhead are not just full of rain, but of desperation and urgency.
You know, like I said, I was a liaison out there, man. Most of those ideas that they got out there came from me, man.
Right on.
Yeah,
right on.
So, you know. And
you can feel good about that. You know?
I feel real good.
Yeah, you should.
You know, at least some of the people, they escaped that. They're over at the tiny houses over there.
Right.
You know, so, you know, you got the Sober Living Cafe, and over there, you got other, but, you know, it's like this. You can't bring the people to them. They're going to have to come to the people, man.
Yeah.
That's basically what it is.
Yeah.
Okay? Just like some of these church organizations, you have to come to the people. You know, you can't expect them to just walk through your church doors, you know, willfully, you know, saying that they need help. You know, and then it's a disappointment where you say, go to MDC, go to Comprehensive Mental Health, go here and go there. You get there, and it's another disappointment. You know, we don't have enough funding. We don't have enough this. We don't have enough that. And then it just deters you. You're like, man, hell with it, man.
Yeah.
You know, shoot. But all this open property, all these, and you got lots that are just available.
Isn't that right there? That's open, isn't it?
Man,
there's nothing going on in that building.
That's been there available for such a long time.
Wow.
You know, going on at least 5 or 6, close to 10 years now.
Well, I wonder who owns it.
I don't know. There's another lot right there.
Yeah.
Right there. That's a big old lot.
Yeah.
They're not doing that with. You know, all this property, you got homeowners, you got people who own not just property, but they own buildings and their own apartments that's been sitting there for years and years and years. I say they should make an ordinance. If you don't have this place rented and prepared within a year's time, then you're going to pay a fine. Okay? Or put some people in there and we will give you a tax write-off. You know, we can work either way.
Yeah.
You know, but to just sit there and nobody's doing nothing with it is ludicrous, man.
Yeah.
You know, so I don't know, man. You got some people may own 5 or 6 houses that just sit there day after day, and they don't do nothing with them, man. I go through these neighborhoods, man, and I see buildings, man, that just in lots.
Right.
You know, I mean, what's the problem?
Right.
You know, people shouldn't be homeless. It's just that people don't understand homelessness, man, until it embarks your doorstep.
That's
you
it.
You feel me?
That's
until
it.
Until it affects someone that you love or someone that's a member of your household.
We'll be right back. Did you know that socks are the number one most requested clothing item in homeless shelters? Well, Bombas is on a mission to change that. They created the most comfortable socks in the history of feet, and for every pair of socks purchased, Bombas donates a pair to someone in need. Designed with special comfort innovations, colors, patterns, lengths, and styles, Bombas are perfect for the whole family. Get your hands on a pair of Bombas socks, and your feet will thank you. Bombas has donated over 20 million pairs and counting. They're made from super soft natural cotton, and every pair is designed with arch support, a seamless toe, and a cushioned footbed that's supportive but not too thick. My new favorites are the new Merino wool socks, designed to be breathable, dry, and never itchy, with just the right amount of thickness. With tons of different colors, patterns, lengths, and styles, Bombas socks also make the perfect gift for anyone on your list. I wear them every day, and I have to say, I'm in love with how they feel. Anyone that knows me knows that I have a bit of a sock and shoe addiction, but sometimes the greatest look doesn't always go hand in hand with the greatest fit or feel, especially those socks that creep down into your shoe. I hate that feeling. With Bombas socks, you are sure to get an incredible experience in both fit, feel, and look. And the best part, for every pair you buy, you are supporting the Bombas mission in providing socks for those in need. Now that is a mission I can get behind, and I know you will too. Save 20% on your first purchase when you shop at bombas.com/homelesspod. That's bombas.com/homelesspod to save 20%. bombas.com/homelesspod.
What you do affects people around you, whether it be negative or positive, brother. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
See, just a little bit that you have might mean a whole bunch to somebody else, man.
Right.
You know? I mean, you can take something that you have and just, it says like this, when you give, you receive a blessing. Okay? Some people, man, they just hoard this land and hoard this. Why? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's not doing anything. You know, and when you have something that you don't do anything, that it makes you worthless.
Sure.
You know, even in the Bible, it talks about the king who had two sons. He gave one talent to one son, two talents to the other son. When he came back, he said, "What did you do?" He said, "Dad, I'm sorry, but I plundered all my money off." He said, "All right, son." He said, "What did you do?" He said, "Dad, I buried mine." He said, "Man, I'm disappointed in you because you didn't even make your money work for nothing."
Right.
Huh?
Right.
At least he went and flaunted it off and bought hookers or whatever he did.
Right.
You know, but his money, he tried to use his money to do stuff, to make it a purpose. You know, because see, God controls everything. It's not what you do, it's how you do it, and who you do it with, brother.
I love that, man. Mm-hmm. I love that. Tell me what you think about the cops here. Are they here all the time?
The cops are here.
I mean, I see right now I'm looking at 3.
Yeah, oh, they're here.
3 Tacoma Police.
To my understanding, their place here, They're getting a paycheck for doing this.
Okay.
Okay. They're out here, they call themselves monitoring what? Homelessness? They have a homelessness task force? That's crazy.
Think back to Jennifer in the first episode. She stated that people working the streets, such as the police, are just doing their jobs and shouldn't be blamed. They are doing what they can with the job they have. Jackson feels the police are just sitting at the park, earning a paycheck. There are so many perspectives, and each one is unique and applicable to the opinion owner's mind. I have no problem with the police, and I've always respected the men in blue, putting their lives on the line to keep order and safety consistent in society. What really happened to Jackson to cause his perspective? His frustration is palpable, his loss of direction, real. At this point, another individual joins us. We will call him TJ. TJ owns the barbershop two doors down from where Jackson and I are talking. He lights up a cigar, walks up to us, and jumps into the conversation without hesitation. As you will hear, TJ seems to be hit by current inflation and cost of living in Western Washington, specifically Tacoma, and he receives subsidized housing. He knows everyone here, the wanderers, the locals, the police. It is truly a neighborhood barbershop. Halfway through the conversation, a fellow employee of his comes outside to offer Jackson the rest of her lunch. These locals look out for each other. They respect each other. They genuinely care.
How you doing, Brother Boogie? How you doing, man? I'm doing an interview right now, brother.
Uh-huh. What's happening over here?
Oh, man, this is Kansas City, man.
They're giving them till 1 o'clock tomorrow to get out.
They're giving us until tomorrow to move out, man.
I thought they said something about today or something.
No, it's tomorrow. Okay. It's tomorrow, you know. And then they handed me this, our rights.
Why would they do people like that, though?
No, man? Look at this. This is our rights. Yeah, well, they had only enough for the tiny houses over here for certain people that they picked out. Yeah. They went around and some organization came through, man, and picked out certain people for them to be over there, man. You know, that's what I would like to know, because I didn't make it.
I mean,
was there a waiting list or something, or like
no,
a sign up?
No, there wasn't no waiting list.
They should have had a lotto or something.
Nope.
At least like the housing did. They had a lotto just not too long ago, but something.
Well,
you know, put your name in. I mean, something.
Well, I don't know how it went, but rest assured, I didn't make it.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm one of the first ones that was there, and most of those ideas out there were mine. You know, like I was telling you, the porta potties. You know, they was complaining about the porta potties. I said, would you rather for the people to defecate on your land or in a porta potty? So they put the porta potties out there. And then they went with the trash. I said, well, they got to empty the trash somewhere. You know, people pay to have their trash cans empty. You know, we can't just keep, you know, forcibly using that stuff. So they gave us trash cans.
Right.
You know?
So
and
now,
then from there, we just kept the place clean ourselves.
You know, yeah.
Who is one to come forth, man, to put their property up for Kansas City?
Right. You know? I was talking to somebody down in Olympia, and she's just telling me that if the city would just vote that every person living in Thurston County did $1 a year, they could open up this huge building.
Yeah.
You know, and it's interesting.
Now they came out with the ordinance. They brought out the new law. Well, it said it's an old law. They said that you can have a canopy, but you can't have structured walls around it. You can't be near the park after dark.
That's always been a law.
It's always been a law.
Right.
So they're enforcing that law again. But see, here's the thing. Since the time this has begun, they dropped that law.
Well, no. They don't know what it is they contradict themselves because they pick and choose. You know. Now, if you were in, let's say, University Place.
Mm-hmm.
And you was in the park after dark.
Okay.
There's people, they walk down Wapato Park all the time.
Right.
At dark.
Right.
They're not getting ticketed or none of that.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So they pick and choose. But, you know, I can get it because of what's going on. You know what I'm saying? You know, they don't want people to be running around here stepping on needles and all this whole type of shit. And I can get it.
Okay.
You know? So I'm not mad about that part. But what I don't understand is why is the government not coming up with some type of
alternative
programs or something to say, okay, some motherfuckers just don't give a fuck about themselves.
Right.
That, hey, I can see a motherfucker just saying, hey, man, I tried to help you.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, I tried to bring you in.
Right.
Hey, we got this tutor program and all this stuff. Like, we're going to give you 6 months. We'll give you a grant for 6 months in order for you to get yourself together,
right.
As far as, I don't care if it's treatment, education,
right.
and a way for you to get housing.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And if they see you making some kind of progress, maybe you can stand it for another 2 or 3 months.
Yes.
But they got to come up with a plan instead of just not giving a fuck.
Right. Right.
You know what I'm saying? Trying to make themselves look good, because that's all it is.
Right.
Now that all this pressure came, now they got to make themselves look good.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes. You got homeless people right across the street from Tacoma.
Man, when I seen a family, I mean a little kid,
and his whole family living in a tent. Yeah. I just couldn't believe it.
Well, you have families out there.
I saw bunch of little little kid bikes out there under a tarp.
Yes, you do, man. It's sad, man.
And that's because the rent is so high nowadays.
Am I telling you?
Yeah, yeah.
Ridiculous.
And it's getting you the train that's coming through.
But they can't even got the money to finish that.
Oh, they don't.
No, they had to put a hold on that. And see, that's cool. In 2013, I was paying $650 for a two-bedroom.
Mm-hmm.
Nice duplex. Right. Mm-hmm.
I was paying $400 for a one-bedroom.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Nice and all that. Mm-hmm. You know, they need to come up with some kind of alternative, man.
Yes, they got
to,
man.
Because they're raising everything sky high. But they ain't giving nobody no. They're not raising up the salaries.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying?
I just said that.
All inflation.
The salaries don't fit. But see, they have made the rent for salaries to fit that, man. Mm-hmm. You know, if the trainer's coming through. All right, so we're gonna want a certain wage group of people living up here. Okay, if you're a lawyer. Okay, if you're a doctor, or you some kind of attorney or something like that, yeah, you got that kind of money to pay $2,000 and $3,000 a month for a one bedroom, man.
Right.
I mean, $2,000 and $3,000 a month, I have to get four people to do that, man, just for a one bedroom, man. Right. You know, see, they don't make the wages, you know, compatible for the rent here.
Right.
You know, and that's sad, man, because that'll help homelessness for real, because you got some people out there that really has income, but not enough. Right. Not enough income.
So do you think, come tomorrow 1 p.m., where do you think a lot of these folks are going to go?
Well, you know.
Just the next block, yeah?
Yep. You know, that's right. They go, see, what they did, the ordinance.
Just move on, just kind of.
Well, the ordinance is, this is what we was doing. They said you can't be in the park after dark. So what they did is they take their tent and move it across the street and sleep. And then in the morning, take their tent and put it back in the parking
lot. Okay.
You know, so it was a ping pong thing.
Some of these tents look like they've been there, like they're well established. They've been there for quite a while.
I mean, since they had not forced that issue on us about, you know, not being in the park after dark. Yeah, some people got tents where, you know, they've been there for...
Yeah, they started... Yeah, you know. Because, I mean, they don't have nowhere to go.
No.
Yeah.
You know, and I get it. They're trying to be as comfortable as possible. It's cold out here.
2 weeks are getting snow.
He froze to death.
Right, right.
From hypothermic.
Right.
And that was, what, about 2 or 3 weeks ago?
Yeah.
They found him down there.
A couple of months ago, too. What's his name? Jarvis.
Jarvis, yeah.
Yeah.
Sure did.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Jarvis.
He's a little bit older than me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, man. Yeah, that was sad. But see, he had health issues also.
Right.
Right.
You know?
And they're not doing nothing about that.
They're not doing nothing about that. Everything goes hand in hand, man. Yeah. You know? Yeah. You know, if there's an incentive and they see that you're trying to apply yourself, you're going out and you coming to these little meetings or whatever it is to help you establish yourself in society.
Yeah.
I mean, golly, man. They don't want nothing but just the normal things in life, man.
Right.
A roof over their head, food, lights,
and opportunity.
Yeah.
Man. Yeah, man. Come on, man.
I mean, I try to get out here the best I can, man, and try to help feed and help, you know, give a few dollars when I can.
Yeah.
Because it's hard right now.
It's really hard, man.
I barely made my rent.
Yeah.
You know? I barely made my rent, man.
Yeah.
And they so-called give me housing, but I'm still paying $550, you know? And because my income, you know, they go off of my income, but they go before, you know, all the cuts, the tax cuts and all that.
Right.
You know, the gross and all that. Yeah. So.
If you only bring it in $500 and your rent is $550, that's your whole check.
Yeah, that's it.
You know what I mean?
No food, nothing else. No utilities.
Consider lights. You got to consider an hour, man.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
You know, now that forces what that do. That sets you up for failure.
Yeah.
Because that forces you to do something illegal to make up the difference, to make a little extra, to have clothes, to have, you know, just some gas, just
every 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Make 900 every 2 weeks. Yeah.
Right.
You know, that's bad. Yeah.
No, so something's got to change. Change brings on growth, man.
Yep.
You know,
absolutely. What do you think about when you see, like, the news?
Yeah, you know. Well, I think the news is important, man.
Yeah.
You know, because see, that way, it'll reach out to somebody out there, man, that's going to have that empathy. Yeah. Empathy.
So you have to be this passionate about
it.
You know,
it's going to reach out to somebody.
Yeah.
You know? And I think that the news being out there is going to put some more pressure on those agencies who's supposed to be handling this, who gets funding for this particular reason. I don't understand. The police out there, they're making money just sitting out there. Huh?
Have you had to see them get involved at all? Have there been, like, anything that's gone down where they've had to jump out?
Oh, yeah, like I said, you know, just recently they put a confidential informant out. This is drugs.
That's wild.
Yeah.
They're not going after the cats that's running with El Chapo or nobody. They're going after these guys that sacrificing to survive.
Yeah.
You know, not the big guys.
Yeah,
you know,
these guys are just trying to get
food in their stomach or... Maybe some of them even to numb their pain. I don't know, but hey.
Yeah.
But see, you got to do something.
Yeah.
Can you realize,
I ain't saying it's right, but at the same time,
no.
You know.
Some
God understands where you sacrifice to survive.
Some people self-medicate, man.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
The hospitals, they come with this new thing, too.
Yeah.
When you go to the hospital now, and you have your whole arm chopped off.
Yeah, you're flagged because you're not getting no painkillers.
You're not getting any kind of painkillers whatsoever.
You're flagged already.
Yeah, you're already flagged. Yeah. The first thing they're going to do is they're going to say, we want to take a blood test. You know, but the blood test is not to check your blood for drugs. Okay, so they check your blood for drugs and they say, okay, we're not giving you no pain medicine. So now you got to self-medicate, you know, and that's not right neither, what they're doing, you know. The hospitals are starting to trip, I don't know, man. When you go in there now, they're like, you can't even be on the premises, you know, unless you have somebody who has been admitted into the hospital. You know, before, man, you can go into the hospital, man, for just a head cold. And by law, they have to help you because that's, well, now they're saying that they can deny services. They can deny you services. Oh, man.
Yeah.
That is sick, man.
Oh, man. You know?
So many issues to think about. Jackson speaks as one that has been hit by the system that he thought was there to support him. And he has obvious opinions about the police, funding, hospital policies, unused buildings, cost of rent. The issues are countless. After speaking with Jackson on the corner of the local convenience store across from People's Park, we shook hands and we parted after I bought him a pack of smokes. Say what you will, I don't think tobacco use is one of his main concerns at this point, and I just wanted to give him something to keep him warm. Call me an enabler if you like, but a warm cigarette on a cold, wet day might be just what he needed. When I went into the convenience store, I stood in line and watched a gentleman in front of me speaking with a cashier, who was also the owner of the store. They were having a heated discussion about the homeless that are causing problems, the customer stating out loud for the rest of us to hear that, quote, those homeless are just a stain on society and should be shipped out. End quote. As I approached the front of the line, I asked the shop owner if homeless individuals are a problem in his store. He stated that the homeless would often come in and ruin his microwave, and they used his bathroom for drugs. He said they were ruining his business. The shop owner is not a bad person. He is working to provide for his family. He is frustrated. The police are frustrated. The homeless are frustrated. I'm frustrated. Everyone is frustrated. Where are the answers? Are there any answers? I will continue down this path to investigate the support systems and institutions that are available for the homeless, and I will definitely drive by People's Park in a month's time to check on the situation. As I walked away from Jackson, I decided to walk through People's Park. I stood on the edge and I just watched. Individuals, still wandering aimlessly around, just looking at their tents and wondering, what's next? I circled back to my car, and in the distance, I saw Jackson walk up to a tattered tent with wooden pallets holding up the sides. He saw me, and he held his hand up to wave. I waved back. We both put our arms down slowly and just looked at each other. He nodded, put his head down, and crawled into his tent. His shelter. His home. The Drug Addiction Hotline offers information on addiction and free referral services in English and Spanish 24 hours a day. If you or someone you know needs help, please call 1-800-662-HELP. That's 1-800-662-4357. Thank you for listening to this week's episode, and don't forget to check out bombas.com/homelesspod to help support the providing of socks for the needy, the most sought-out item by those living without a home. Everything you do matters. Every little step, dollar given, volunteer opportunity, or even just a nod to someone on the streets. Sometimes that's all it takes. A simple gesture, a simple acknowledgement, a simple hello. Join us in 2 weeks for the next episode. Be safe, be well, be content. Until then, don't look away.